Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza. This program is recorded via remote. And here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, April 15, 2020. More people are killed in intercommunal violence in Lek State.
First victim was the one who went and tried to raid about 28 cattle. And on first show, the owners of the animals went and killed him.
And the Catholic Church tells internally displaced persons sheltering at a church compound in Wau to return home.
There is still war in our area, and there is no way one can get to my village now. We don't have plots in Wau. We can't even afford to rent. We were living here in the church with the help of NGOs that were giving us food.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Lek State Police say five people were killed and several others were wounded during intercommunal fighting in two related incidents this past week. A police spokesman says the fighting was between two communities in Rumbek East County. William Sande Mabor has more for VOA from Rumbek.
Lek State Police spokesman Captain Elijah Mabor Makwai says the security situation has returned to normal after last weekend violence in Rumbek East County, where at least five people were killed and five others were injured in a cattle raid and a revenge attack.
We have no any other cases being reported so far. I would appreciate the elders and our forces in Greater Rumbek East for their tireless job they have done to manage the security situation at Rumbek East.
Captain Makwai says the trouble began when a man from one community raided dozens of cattle from a nearby community on Friday night. He says the cattle owners pursued an unidentified cattle raider and killed him between Madingbur and Malay cattle camps.
First victim was the one who went and tried to raid about 28 cattle. And on first show, the owners of the animals went and killed him.
Makwai says relatives of the deceased carried out a revenge attack on Saturday on the community where the cattle raid occurred.
His relative went for revenge and killed four. Three in other side and one in other side. And five wounded.
Mabor says Lek State authorities advise local chiefs and police officers to talk to the residents of both communities in an effort to convince them to end the cycle of attacks and revenge attacks in the area.
The chiefs were instructed to go to their people and talk to them. Also, our police force in at that area are instructed to go also and watch out the development of the case, in case if there is any serious situation, immediately they will be informing us at state level.
Some Rumbek East County residents have urged the national government to intervene after other deadly attacks in the area in early March when more than 40 people were killed in the area. Resident Samuel Mabor Makwek says government should disarm civilians, destroy the cache of weapons they collect, and stop the flow of weapons into Lek State. He says the national government should also introduce community policing in the state so that civilians work with the police to prevent further violence.
Revenge have taken a big toll. This state is torn, is in tears. So for us to have peace in this state, three means have to be deployed. Disarm the civilians, destroy these guns. Stop the flows or the inlets of these guns. Set in a system. Train and equip the organized forces of all directions of national security, the police, which is entrusted with protection of civilians, the whole army. And then system has to be in place for these units to know how to control the guns. And of course, we know where our country is. The problem, the economic meltdown, the issues of conflict, and all other things.
Rumbegi's resident Mawo Mading says it is time the national government should restore peace in the area. Mawom says there are many unknown gunmen in his village who target travelers based on their clans.
We want to get peace in our community. And even now, our people now, they have problem. Because when you are going in the village, you will get the man in the bush carrying the gun and stop you. Even if you say, I'm going to my home, you say, are you from which tribe? After all, they shoot you without reason. So people are fearing now to go out. Even when you have your cow in the cattle, there's no way going that side in the cattle or where.
Cattle raids and revenge attacks have been the main cause of communal conflicts in Lagos State for the past 15 years. In the past month alone, dozens of local civilians were killed during intercommunal violence. South Sudan in Focus called government spokesman Michael McQuay to ask what the national government has done to end intercommunal fighting in Rumbek East County of Lagos State. But McQuay said he was in Wau attending the funeral of Paulino Wanawila, the former justice minister, and that he will only speak to the media when he returns to Juba. For VOA News, I am William Sande Mabor in Rumbek, Lagos State.
Thousands of internally displaced persons sheltering at the Catholic Church compound in Wau were sent away last weekend due to the COVID-19 pandemic. A priest in charge of the internally displaced persons in Wau says the lives of the IDPs are at risk as the coronavirus continues to spread globally. David Wanodanga has details for VOA from Juba.
25,000 IDPs have been staying in Catholic churches across Wau, including St. Mary's, the Help of Christians Cathedral in the High Jebel suburb, St. Joseph Parish in Sika Hadid, St. Josephine Bakitha in Lokloko Center, and Holy Family Parish in the Nazareth area. Father Moses Peter, the emergency coordinator for the Caritas Catholic Diocese of Wau, says church leaders were concerned that the IDPs were living in crowded conditions. Before the church began sending away the IDPs, Father Peter says some NGOs educated people about how COVID-19 is spread and how to recognize its symptoms.
It was being also announced in the radio, and all the time there is this Director General of the Ministry of Health. From time to time he comes to the radio and he talks to people about corona is a dangerous virus now going on killing. And it doesn't need people to be in one place. If it happened here to be infecting one person, it can easily infect many people. That is why they decided that they should leave the compound and go to their houses.
Father Peter says he realizes the decision to send away the IDPs was abrupt.
So many of them left here, they are angry. But for those who have understood that this coronavirus is really killing, and if it gets people are sitting in group or many in one place like that, it can infect many people. And it's dangerous. Some people really who understood this, I think they will not take it negatively.
Father Peter says most of the IDPs who left the church premises joined relatives in and around Wau Town. But those who came from villages miles away are being left to live on the streets. Speaking in Arabic, 35-year-old widow Mary Adut, a mother of four who hails from Mapel in Jur River County of Western Baragazal State, some 40 miles away, says she cannot go home.
I am sitting out here under the tree with my children because I have nowhere to go. This corona disease that they told us about has even scared me. I can't leave my children with anyone to go and look for food. Because of these many sicknesses, even if someone wants to give you shelter, if they see you in the street, they will fear thinking you are sick.
Madut says she is in desperate need of financial help for herself and her children. James Ball, a father of five, says he and his family fled Rock Dong Village in Jur River County of Western Baragazal in 2016 when conflict spread to the area. Over the past 4 years, Bal says his family has lived at St. Mary's Cathedral in Wau. Speaking in Arabic, Bal says he cannot take his family home because fighting continues in his village.
There
is still war in our area, and there is no way one can get to my village now. We don't have plots in Wau. We can't even afford to rent. We were living here in the church with the help of NGOs that were giving us food. There is even no way we can sell sorghum because this is the only food we live on.
By Sunday night, Father Peter says most of the IDPs who had been living at various Catholic churches across Wau had vacated the compounds, leaving only a handful who could not find a place to go. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
The World Bank has donated $7.6 million to the UN Children's Agency, UNICEF, to help in the fight against the COVID-19 pandemic in South Sudan. The deputy country representative for UNICEF in South Sudan says the money will be used to increase awareness about how best to prevent transmission of the virus. Dimo Silva Aurelio has more for VOA from Juba.
Andreas Sule, UNICEF's deputy country representative in South Sudan, says the awareness campaign will identify the signs and symptoms of the coronavirus and describe the best ways to prevent the spread of the virus.
It targets critical activities such as risk communication to ensure that communities, healthcare workers, and others understand how to prevent and protect themselves from COVID-19.
Sule says the World Bank donation has come at the right time and will improve health screenings at points of entry, as well as provide psychosocial support services for children across the country. Unlike its neighbors, South Sudan did not have a confirmed case until early this month. It now has 4 confirmed cases, about 30 people who came into contact with one or more of the confirmed cases are being closely monitored and tested. 18 blood samples tested negative. 26 others are being tested. No COVID-19 related deaths have been reported in South Sudan. Sule says UNICEF has already dispatched staff to health facilities near South Sudan's entry points to teach health workers how to conduct screenings and handle confirmed cases.
A lot of this preparedness was focused on strengthening healthcare facilities in high-risk areas around the border. So the preparedness that took place in those healthcare facilities for Ebola will also help us be prepared for coronavirus.
Sule says some of the money will be used to provide hand sanitizers, hand washing equipment, face masks, and gloves, especially for health workers at border areas.
It'll also look at funding training for health professionals on how to reduce infections and also provide them with protective equipment.
Sule urges South Sudanese to wash their hands regularly with soap, avoiding social gatherings, practicing social distancing, and to stay home as much as possible. In a statement released this week, Hussam Abdaga, World Bank country manager for South Sudan, said the COVID-19 outbreak is anticipated to overburden South Sudan's weak public health preparedness and response systems. He said it may also have a social economic impact on South Sudan in terms of increasing food insecurity and, in his words, deepening poverty and vulnerabilities, unquote. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Sudanese authorities pay civil servants salaries so that they can have food during lockdown. Stay tuned for details on this story after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how can you help someone dealing with depression?
I just give my time to that person and we discuss matter concerning that depression which that person is facing.
First of all, I'll find out what is depressing that person. And when I find out the root cause, of course, I try to advise the person according to what he or she is going through.
By counseling the person through counseling and then sharing ideas. Maybe sometimes going out for football or watching football, movies, such things can also help.
I recommend music, the music therapy. Music therapy in the sense that music has a way of giving a soothing feeling whenever the person listens to music.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 530-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202-630-8011.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. The government of Sudan says it plans to pay civil servants on Wednesday and Thursday this week to help families buy food and other essential items during the three-week lockdown starting this weekend. Officials say all government institutions will remain closed during the lockdown. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Khartoum.
Professor Sadiq Taur, who heads the country's health task force, says the state government will pay civil servant salary before Saturday when the lockdown goes into effect. He said the government has instructed banks in Khartoum State to work extra hours so that people can withdraw money. Intisar Ahmad is a nurse at Maigoma Orphanage Center in Khartoum. Speaking in Arabic, Ahmad says she received her salary and will use it to buy food for her family of five, but says she is feeling anxious about the upcoming lockdown.
Because my salary is not enough for me. That is why I used to work in many places and some of them are casual. Now, if the total lockdown is imposed, some of my working places will be closed and I will be affected.
Mariana Talat works as a primary school teacher in one of Khartoum's schools. Speaking in Arabic, Talat says she has stocked up food items including sugar, cooking oil and rice, and made sure to buy medicine for her diabetic son ahead of the 21-day lockdown.
Now many people are afraid to go to the hospital because of the issue of corona. Our worry during this period is our health more than anything else. Some might be suffering from some underlying diseases and they would like to access the pharmacy to get it.
Speaking in Arabic, Taur admits it was a difficult decision for the government to lock down a city in the size of Khartoum for 3 weeks. But he is urging the residents to adhere to the lockdown and follow all government and health experts' directives to minimize the spread of the virus.
We would like to assure our citizens that all these procedures are for their safety, welfare and protection. We are not intending to make their lives difficult, nor do we intend to lock people in their houses to suffer.
Taur says the government is aware that the protective measures are impacting humanitarian aid groups' efforts to help IDPs in Darfur, Blue Nile and Southern Kordofan.
We would like to reiterate our commitment in the Sudanese government to ensure humanitarian access to all the communities across the country who are in need. And we will be doing this in accordance with the new preventive health measures so that the communities are also safe from coronavirus.
Sudan's health task force confirmed last night three new COVID-19 cases in the country, bringing the total number of the cases in Sudan to 32. The committee say the death toll has also risen to 5 after one patient died yesterday. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Global agencies have been warning that the coronavirus pandemic may result in worldwide food shortages, and leaders warn African nations already struggling from the effects of natural disasters and conflict could be among the worst hit. Nicolas Pinault reports.
Even before COVID-19 hit, 113 million people on the planet were already struggling with severe acute food insecurity due to pre-existing shocks and from natural disasters or crises. The worst examples are Ethiopia, Kenya, and Somalia, where the UN's food agency says 12 million people were already in dire circumstances due to the extended droughts, back-to-back failed harvests, and on top of it all, hordes of desert locusts that descended on crops and pastures between December and January. In an April report, the Food Crisis Prevention Network says conflicts have created food shortages and malnutrition in the Lake Chad Basin, the Liptako-Gourma region of Mali, Niger and Burkina Faso, and in parts of Nigeria. It says about 17 million people will face a food and nutrition crisis by June-August in the region. Isufu Bawa is an expert with the regional grouping, the Permanent Interstate Committee for Drug Control in the Sahel. He warns that 50 million people are currently stressed and in risk of falling into crisis.
Il s'agit en fait des populations qui sont à mesure de pouvoir assurer leur alimentation.
He explains to VOA that these stressed populations can usually feed themselves, but cannot manage any other non-food spending. If someone gets sick, for example, they will need to sell some of their food stock, which they rely on to survive to cover the cost. Then he says they are in trouble. The coronavirus pandemic and the measures to contain it are also a challenge. South Africa has extended a national lockdown by 2 weeks until the end of April, as infections continue to mount. Others impose curfews. Despite border closures and restrictions within countries, food must remain available, says Sekou Sangare, the Commissioner for Agriculture, Environment and Water Resources of the Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS. Sangare says the necessary lockdown measures should not prevent farmers from selling their products in the markets. Otherwise, he says, it will interrupt the food supply chain, create shortages, and increase the prices. Some NGOs warn that the remedy could become worse than the disease in countries with fragile economies. The effects of hunger could claim more victims than the virus itself, warned the group Action Against Hunger. Dr. Pierre Micheletti is its president.
Le confinement signifie la fin de l'emploi et...
Micheletti says lockdown measures mean the end of jobs for people who are trying to survive, mostly with informal jobs. He thinks the whole safety net system and monetary subsidies that developed countries can have are unrealistic in developing countries. Nicolas Pinault for VOA News, Paris.
As the cases of COVID-19 rise in Ghana, the capital Accra endures its third week of partial lockdown. Local NGOs, churches and businesses have stepped up campaigns to feed the most vulnerable. Despite the interventions, there are fears of short and long-term repercussions for more than 500,000 urban poor. Stacy Knott reports from Accra.
Since 2014, Ghanaian chef Elijah Amu Ado has been redistributing excess food from food manufacturers, distributors and stores to those in need through his NGO Food for All Africa. When the first cases of COVID-19 were announced in Ghana about a month ago, he knew it would make life harder for the already vulnerable, so he and his network created an emergency intervention program. Amu Ado says that while the lockdown is needed to stop the spread of COVID-19, it is increasing hardships for the city's urban poor.
The anxiety in accessibility to food, nutrition and basic essentials keeps increasing. And for us as a non-profit, the little we could do is to continue delivering hot meals and food boxes to beneficiaries affected by the pandemic.
He says there has been a lot of support for his program, but more needs to be done to ensure food security in coming months, especially if food prices keep rising. Abdul Majib Salifu, a program manager with the NGO People's Dialogue on Human Settlements, said that he fears for those in the informal settlements who usually sell or carry goods in the markets, which are now largely closed due to the lockdown.
Their situation is more precarious in terms of their daily living conditions than they were. It has become more worse because once they are not getting their daily wage, the 3 square meals a day is becoming a challenge.
Ghana's Ministry of Food and Agriculture has taken on the task of ensuring that people in the West African country get enough to eat. Officials are receiving assistance from the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization and other Rome-based food agencies. The FAO's Deputy Regional Representative for Africa, Jocelyn Brown-Hall, says the FAO, World Food Programme and International Fund for Agriculture Development reviewed the Ministry's plan and found it to be on target.
All three of us are working with advising the Ministry of Food and Agriculture just to help them stay on course and to do the right thing, which they are right now, keeping trade going, restricting movement, but not for essential workers, and ensuring that food can move around the country and go to the people that needs to.
Questions remain about Ghana's long-term food situation if the crisis drags on. Brown Hall said while Ghana grew plenty of nutritious food, there are concerns over farmers being able to harvest what they have, get it to market, and plant for the next season. Ghana has recorded 566 cases of coronavirus so far, a relatively high number by African standards to this point, although significantly fewer than many Western countries. The virus has claimed 8 lives to date. Stacey Knott for VOA News, Accra.
Kasongo Wakanema, leader of the long-time Kenyan-based Congolese music band Super Mazembe, died in Nairobi today. Kasongo helped many South Sudanese musicians, including Victoria Ole, JKP, Mido Samuel, Kang JJ, and others, at his Watoto studio in Nairobi in the early 2005. We end this show with one of Kasongo's classic, entitled Kasongo. We've been listening to late Kasongo of the Super Mazembe with the song Kasongo. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for listening. Remember to stay at home, wash your hands with soap, and keep social distancing, and stay safe from the coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.